Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in. This is LSEC Publishing Radio, and I'm your host, Teresa Banks. I have a special guest on the line that I have been literally waiting for months to talk to, and I am excited to have him here. His name is Neville Murkison, and he was born and raised in my hometown, the Chicagoland area. He attended Clark Atlanta University as well as Miles College. And he has written several short stories and plays and has an awesome book out called Rap, A Family to Conquer. Neville, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. I'm happy to be here.
I am doing well, and I love your Praise the Lord message. I tell you, we can't say that enough nowadays.
That's right. You are right about that. We need to get that more into our speech.
That is just the truth. Now, are you coping okay with this crazy winter weather?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it's surprising, but hey, let's get to 70 degrees more. Let's keep it going.
Well, you know, we Midwesterners know it's going to be a few more months before then, but I love your optimism. Now, Neville, I understand that you have done so many different things under the writing umbrella. And I was doing some reading on you where I learned that from sixth grade you were writing short stories. Now,
sure,
what were you
yeah.
writing back in the sixth grade?
It was more like comic book type of things, you know, where he's into Superman and stuff. So I created my own superheroes. I can't remember the names, but I do remember I created my own superheroes and sold them to my classmates.
Oh, wait a minute. You sold them to your classmate?
Yes, I sold it to them for a quarter each. And I did pretty good. I had enough to get me some Boston baked beans and Chico sticks and stuff like that. You know, I did pretty good for myself back then.
Well, I tell you, so you were just truly a writer at heart and an entrepreneur even at an early age, sounds like.
Yeah, and didn't even know it. Just enjoyed doing it.
Now, how many plays have you written?
Oh, wow. Probably, I'm going to say, off the top of my head, I'm six.
Hmm?
Yeah, six off the top of my head.
And, you know, as well as I do, that here in Chicago, we have so many theaters, including ETA on the south side of Chicago. Have you considered having some of your plays shown at those different theaters?
Well, I haven't gotten to that for say yet. I'm still like into like the book novel things now, but a lot of my readers have been trying to push me off into the theaters and stuff like this. So you never know what the future holds.
I know, isn't that the truth? And we just have to take advantage of every opportunity. And
right.
You mentioned novel writing, so tell us about this book that you've written, Wrath of Family to Conquer. What is it about?
Wow, Wrath of the Family to Conquer. It's a bestseller,
mm-hmm.
So it's doing great right now with the sales. It's a sexual and domestic abuse book. It's to touch bases on it. It talks about the how we keep things secret within the family lifestyle, how people on our blocks, best friends, teachers, don't even know what's going on in the house, and they're so close to us. So it's a powerful read. It's a taboo story. It's great. It's heartfelt also.
Well, I know, and just looking at your cover design, and, you know, the truth is that when a person looks at that cover, it just speaks volumes, and it makes you want to pick up a book right away. And yours has what looks to be a youth cowering in a corner with a shadowy figure, like someone's about to just raise their hand and just do something crazy. And so, you know, for the African-American community anyway, it's almost been like the way that we know, you know, the way we're all brought up. What do you think about that?
Well, that's why I wrote the book, because it is a normal thing for us, but just because it's normal doesn't make it right. And we have to be, we have somebody out there that teaches these things. It's a lot of times we do things the wrong way, and since everybody rewards us for us, it seems like that's the right way. So I want the cover is to, you know, have my characters jump off the pages. I want them to look at it and like, wow, they, you know, without even reading the book, I want to catch the reader or the person that's driving by in their car and see the cover and say, wow, I want to read this book.
Well, I tell you, the cover is definitely moving, where I believe many people will certainly want to pick it up and open it up and see, what is this story? And I remember listening to another blog talk show you were on where you were saying that almost for some African-American families, it's like we're showing love. But do you think they were showing love back then, or was it their way of trying to get us ready for this cold and tough world?
Well, I think it was just—I think it was showing love. I still stick by that because I'm going by the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And we did was the way we showed love was you know, it was we rewarded one another for destruction in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what a lot of my insights in my book came for. We rewarded the best fighter, the best cursor, the best drug dealer, the most destructive. Mm. So those was our way. We didn't really have people in our neighborhood talking about God. Matter of fact, we didn't have anyone that I know of talking about God in our neighborhood. We had all the dope dealers and the gang members.
That is just the truth. And unfortunately, too many young people look for that way, you know, because they want all the material things they have and they think that those are the role models. But one question, though, in regards to that is that as you get older, especially in your teen years, and you see those gangs and you really know the outcome already, you know what the consequences are going to be, why do you think especially our young kids, our teenagers today, they already can see the consequences of jail and, you know, the things that can happen to you and being killed. Why would they still want that lifestyle?
Well, at that time, when you become 16, 17, you're already programmed. See, it's hard to stop something that you've been programmed to do for 12, 13 years. It's like a person that's been doing criminal activity for 30 years and all, and he give himself over to God. Even the Bible says, you know, it takes time to change. He's not expecting you to change overnight. Now, that's the same thing with the world too. I mean, when you start to get older, you start to get better at whatever you're doing, even if it's crime or lying or violence or, you know, so it's programmed. It's a programming.
Wow, and you know, that is just so scary to know, given all of these years that we've just seen so much with the drugs and the crime, and it really leads me to my next question to you, that, you know, we hear of so many young people, once they're in prison, that then they get the word, you know, like then the Nation of Islam and other religions can reach them. Why can't these religions reach them when they're outside, when they see them on the corner, you know?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times the Nation of Islam or Christians what have you. They can't reach the youth, well, the ones that they can't reach. It's mm-hmm. because they're not sitting, the youth are not sitting around to hear what they have to say. You know, you're always moving, you're always hustling, you're always looking over your back. You're not making time for to go to church or the mosque. You're not making time to listen to that guy that say, hey, you need to, you know, stop doing what you're doing. You listen to the one that say, look, this is the best way to make a profit.
Yeah, true.
So when you get to prison, now you have 24 hours to do nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the time for God to work on your nerves and say, hey, why don't you go to service this Sunday? You don't have anything else to do. And then it's surely start working on you.
Well, I tell you, I just hope and pray, especially the more young people that I see. I mean, I've been to the funeral of someone who was a teen, and it was just the strangest feeling to see a young person laying there in a casket. So I really hope that whether it be through religions or the work that you're doing with the book that you wrote, I hope we can really all start figuring out how we can make a difference. Now,
I think
you had also mentioned with sexual abuse, what did you think of Oprah's program where she had the 200 men on the show that had been sexually abused?
Yeah, I didn't watch the Oprah show. You have to fill me in on that one.
Oh, sure, and I'll do it quickly because I don't want to eat up so much time on that piece of it, especially with I see a couple of calls here waiting as well. She did a show with just 200, just all men that had been hiding. You know, they were adults at that point. They'd been hiding childhood sexual abuse that had happened with them, and I believe it was a two-part series where you saw the picture of them that they were holding of the time that they had been, you know, molested in some way. And, it was just incredible to see that between that and, as you mentioned, the physical and even the mental abuse we suffer growing up, the impact it can have on your life is just crazy.
Right. Well, that's always a good thing to have men and women to come out. It's always, you know, a powerful thing for the people that's still stuck in that type of movement or that type of way of thinking. So it always helps to have someone to talk to, someone that been through that road and made it through.
Oh, sure, absolutely. You are certainly right. And I wanted to bring a caller in here. I see we have someone on the line from the 301 area code. Caller, did you want to add something to the conversation tonight?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Oh, hey. I'm sorry. I didn't know I had got in the queue. I was just listening in, and I was thinking about the book itself. You know, I've read the book, and I always congratulate the author on doing such a wonderful job in picking such a subject that's, like you say, taboo. And I was just thinking about this subject itself. Is there any other subject like that you plan on tackling, like in the form of a novel? Just that you have this one.
Yeah, racism. I'm currently writing a book, or you know, getting my notes ready for that. That's going to be another tough topic, or, you know, taboo topic to talk about. So that's going to be coming out in the future also.
And, Neville, can you tell us a little bit more about that? When you say racism, so are you looking to talk about, I mean, you know, just specific, like, relationships, the way that people connect from a racial perspective, or what's kind of going to be your angle?
Well, what I'm doing is getting my notes ready right now, but what I'm thinking I'm going to do is attack it with the different views of different races and how they view different things or situations that happen with different ethnicities. I'm going to do it from probably a high school perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And try to work it from that angle, from high schoolers.
Oh, wow. Well, I tell you, we need you speaking in the schools. Are you speaking at the schools yet?
No, I haven't. Yeah, no, I haven't been speaking at school. I have a couple of principals that want me to come to, and we're working that out as we speak.
Well, I tell you, you certainly should contact schools, especially high schools. They have so many different career days, especially towards the end of the year. And another good source, especially in marketing books I've learned, is through libraries. They're always looking for speakers, and they're more than happy for you to even sell your books in the back of the room. Usually the suburban libraries are more open to you selling your products, but certainly check out libraries too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the libraries. I've done a couple of libraries. They're flooding my lines. Matter of fact, Neville All-Stars Tour, Writers Tour, it starts tomorrow in Alpharetta Library, Alpharetta, Georgia. That's from 1 to 3. So that'll be a beautiful thing, too. But yeah, with the libraries, yeah, we're attacking those, too. So.
Oh, nice. I tell you, you know, you just have to really have love for writing to really be in it. Because it's so much work. What kind of tips would you give to people that are looking to write short stories and plays and even novels? I mean, what kind of suggestions for the beginner would you toss out there?
Well, a lot of times what I see from people that just begin, they feel like since they can write, that they're writing properly.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it's not the proper way to write. It's just a good storyline that needs to be molded. Get you some books to learn how to write properly. You might be very creative, but to do it professionally, you have to have a couple of guidelines that you need to follow. And also be adamant about writing. Don't write 1 week and then, you know, put it away for 3 months and then come back to write again. And, you know, one book turned into 4 years of writing. Try not to be that type of writer.
You know, you sound like me where you probably bumped into a few of those people. Where they say they want to write, but, you know, just stays up there kind of long. And do you like the self-publishing route, or do you prefer to go with the publishing company?
Well, both of them are good. The self-publishing is a lot more work because you have to become your own business person. So if you're a businessman, go with the self-publishing, and you keep all your money. You know, you don't have anybody in your pockets. But if you're not, if you just love to write and then you're just through with it, go with the traditional route.
Yeah, and you know, nowadays when you do, if you decide to self-publish, I know that's the route I took, it's changed. You know, it has more of an entrepreneurial spirit to it. You can use print on demand and certainly, you know, not have to spend an arm and a leg. So it's worth it.
Yes, very much worth it, yeah. It's just you have to be businessman. You have to be, you know, willing to make them phone calls or you have to be willing to call that person like they said they was going to call you on Tuesday and never did call you. You know, you have to be willing to go the extra mile. It's not just writing when you're dealing with that. So you have to be ready for that type of stuff.
You are certainly right about that. And our caller who called in earlier, and I certainly appreciate our caller for doing so, during that conversation you mentioned taboo subjects that you like to write about, and you said one being racial. Now, what about some other subject matter that you're kind of thinking of that you think is taboo that you want to still get some work and write on?
So far, it's just the racial thing right now. I would like to write a book about maybe a minister that's mm-hmm. you know, not following God's word all the way. And most people that, you know, kind of push under the rug.
You were definitely right about that. I think that would be a good one.
So you're looking
for some subjects that will raise a few eyebrows, sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I like to talk about the taboo things. I like to talk about what everyone else is not talking about. I want to write the books with everybody that other people don't want to write.
Now, are there any kind of subjects you would not want to write about?
You probably wouldn't see me writing about homosexuality. You probably won't see me writing about that.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
you know, there are just some subjects where, you know, you feel as a writer you can handle it, research it, do it, and you're comfortable with it, and others you just have to take a pass on.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that I'm, you know, against homosexuality or for homosexuality. It's just not something that my pen will go to the paper and write about.
Yeah, I can understand. I can truly understand what you mean. And you mentioned a few minutes ago some of the work that's involved with writing and really, you know, taking the time out to do it and to become a good writer, to kind of hone your craft, if you will. How do you find the balance between trying to live that author lifestyle, like the book signing you mentioned, versus still having time to spend with family and with friends?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is very hard. Yes, this is another thing that a lot of newcomers don't know about, but you miss out on a lot of stuff because you have dates that you have to do on the weekend, the weekdays and stuff like that. And, you know, you miss out on birthdays. You miss out on church events because of these type of things. But you have to know that this is your craft, this is your job, and this is what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be adamant about, you know, this career. Even if you're feeling like it's not selling well, or you still have to be adamant about your career.
That is just the truth. I mean, with both authors I've talked to, we all say the same. It's like our baby, and, you know, we're very protective of it. And when you really love it, you know, it becomes your passion. You really enjoy doing it. It's not even like a chore, but like you said, there are some sacrifices.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a lot of nights. I stayed up to 3 in the morning and wake back up at 7 in the morning, you know, doing the same thing, a lot of meetings and driving here and driving there, you know. So, but it pays off. I mean, you know, I sold a lot, and, you know, thank the Lord for that. And thank my readers also for, you know, following me.
Well, you know, when you are talented and you are so dedicated like yourself, I mean, I think that it just rubs off. All that hard work you put into it, it rubs off in the long run. And I understand, I bought your Facebook page, and I've been doing some other reading on you, and I understand you have a phrase, especially for the men, that says, keep your read up. So what message are you trying to say to the men out there in regards to that?
I'm trying to tell them to say, hey, let's read. It's masculine to read. Let's keep our read up. Let's keep reading, even if it's not a recreational book. It might be about Malcolm X or Billy the Kid or anything, a magazine. You know, let's read. Keep your read up.
Now, do you think we're going to be challenged not only in reading, but as authors trying to sell books with all these bookstores going under? We just had Borders file for bankruptcy. I mean, how we trying to keep the read up, but how are we going to do it here?
Well, we can always do it if you're being creative. The bookstore is just a building. So if you're being creative, or if you're around other creative writers, you can always find a place to sell a book at the back of your car, at the salon, anywhere. You know, I've even called politicians in Birmingham that I have meetings with, and I'm trying to get them with the Keep Your Read Up campaign too. So we've been having meetings with them also.
Well, it's a lot of ways. But why are you, like, really targeting the men? Do you think men don't read as much as they should be?
No, they do not read as much as they should be. The women dominate writing books, reading books, talking about books. Men, I don't understand why it's so much of a lack of men writing and reading books. So that's why I'm targeting them the most. We need more men to step up and read more than, you know, just the Hoochie magazines.
Right, you're right.
The back of the movie, to tell what the movie is about. You know, or the ingredients to make their favorite pie. We need us to start reading more. So a lot of times when I write my books, I try to put it in everyday wording, I don't try to get too fancy with my words and that type of stuff. I try to keep it simple.
Well, I think you are certainly being a great role model in the community and just every step of the way and trying to help others. And I think it's a wonderful phrase to have. And I really hope that as you come across men and especially our young boys, that they really hear you, because our youth are in trouble. I'm really afraid for them, because today they're living without boundaries and they're just doing anything they feel they're old enough to do. So please talk as often as you can, help them as much as you can, and stay
thank
on
you.
All of us so we'll do the same.
I definitely will. thank you. I definitely will.
Now, Neville, we have a few minutes left, so I want to make sure before you go that you tell our listeners where can they buy copies of your book.
Well, they can buy a copy of A Raft, A Family to Conquer on lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. They can also go to my webpage. That's Neville, N-A-V-E-L-L-N-O. VELS.com. And you can buy it from there. I have downloadable copies. I have hardcovers. And you can also come to the Neville All-Star Tours. You can check it on my website, too. That's NevilleNovels.com. You can check where we're going to be, what cities we're going to be. We're going to be in Atlanta. We're going to be in Birmingham, Chicago, and Philadelphia. You can check the dates and the stores that we'll be in on that website.
And I have to say, all of them are some of my favorite cities.
That's right.
Now, can you tell the listeners some of the different events that are coming up, or should they check your website to get that specifically?
Well, you can check the website also, but some of the things that I'm working on my second book, A Hole in Heaven's Floor. It doesn't have a release date yet. And also, we're doing the Neville All-Star Writers Tour. That starts tomorrow in Atlanta. We're going to be doing it in Birmingham, like I said, Chicago and Philly. And the dates and stores that we'll be at, it'll be on the website. I'm also having a Neville All-Star Book Fair. That's going to be in Atlanta also, and it's going to be in the summertime. So we're doing a lot of things over here, keeping everyone reading, keeping a lot of men reading.
Well, I tell you, I am just so proud of you, and I have to tell you there's one other bookstore I absolutely love that you'll certainly want to check out, and they're Azizi Books. They're in Lincoln Mall in Matteson, Illinois, and they are extremely supportive of authors, so you'll certainly want to check them out. And
okay.
Can you also tell people, is there an email that people can reach you at as well?
Yes, my email address is Neville, N-A-V-E-L-L, .28@hotmail.com. You can leave messages. You can leave comments about the book. Ask questions about plots or creative writing. If you're starting off your own book, you can ask questions about that also.
Well, Neville, I thank you so much for coming on the program today, and I really want to thank you an extra time because we actually had to reschedule the show to today due to me having a death in the family. So I'm so grateful for you to be on here tonight, and if there's anything I can do ever along your writing journey, you just let me know.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'd like to, I also had a death in the family also.
Oh,
so
my
like to,
goodness.
Yeah, so I would like to, say to Donald McCurdy, my uncle, that we love you. We're going to be missing you. To the McCurdy family, I hope you're listening, that, we love you, and God is with us.
Well, I will certainly keep your family in my prayers, and I tell you, we know that death is a part of life. It's the ugliest part of life, but you just take good care of yourself and certainly take good care of your family as well.
Yes.
And I'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
I look forward to talking to you, too. Thank you for the interview. It was great.
Oh, you are welcome, and you take care. All bye-bye.
Right.
Well, listeners, as we come to a close today, we just had an outstanding conversation with Neville Merkison. He has now, I think, put another little notch here in my list of wonderful authors that I have in touch with. His book, again, is called Wrath, A Family to Conquer. Certainly get yourself a copy. If you need to reach me in regards to this program, you can drop me an email at mailtobanks@aol.com. It's spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S. @aol.com. Don't forget to become a friend of the show so you don't miss any great episodes. You can do that by going over to blogtalkradio.com/Ellasec. And Ellasec is spelled E-L-L-A-C-E-C. Thank you all so much for listening. Take great care of yourself and be blessed.